Good morning. It's pretty excellent to be with you, to be able to share in this Christmas season. As we look at these themes all around this incredible gift of life in Jesus. And this morning, I just want to share a couple of really simple thoughts with you. And I hope that there's just two maybe that you'll take away. These two ideas about joy for me are simple, but they can be truly life-changing. You see, I believe joy needs to be sought out. And then secondly, joy needs to be shared. And that's what we find when we look at probably the story that most of this comes out of at Christmas time, and it's the story of the angels and the shepherds. It's in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to take a moment and read it, because the declaration of the angels to those shepherds and in turn to the world is so profound. It says that the shepherds were sitting with their sheep on a hillside in the evening, and in verse 9 of chapter 2 in Luke it says this: suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared amongst them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory absolutely surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them with the words, "Don't be afraid." And I know it's been referenced over the last couple of weeks, because you've got to consider, what is it like to encounter these heavenly beings that are making these declarations? It freaked people out. There's fear. But the angels don't want us to just be afraid and repelled. They want peace that we're drawn into. But the words that they say is this: "Because I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. For the Savior, yeah, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem." And it's a profound, definitive statement. Born to you this day in the city of David, the Savior, He's Christ the Lord. It's joy for all people. This is like this universal message that the angels say, it's for all of us. It's a gift, and it's a gift that brings incredible joy. Their response, they go, "We got to go. We got to go and see this thing that we've been told of." And then secondly to that, once they've seen, they say, "We've got to go and tell." And so I'm going to take a moment in both of these ideas. You see, joy for many of us is something that we would relate more to happiness. A big, broad smile on our face. A big belly laugh. Some sort of raucous celebration. We'd go, "Man, there's a lot of joy there." But the word is actually more akin to a restful, contented peace. You know, there's two references really to joy that we find around the manger. And one is Luke 2 that I just read, and the other is Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew chapter 2, it speaks a little bit later of when the wise men come and they see the star that leads them, and it says they were filled with joy. I don't think it's just this, you know, they suddenly have this big grin. I think, you know, the happiness and the experience makes a grin easier. But I think there's this sense for both the shepherds and the wise men in their yearning and longing that they've been a part of in this nation of Israel. There's this sense of, this is it. This is the fulfillment. This has now come to pass. The stories we've heard, the hopes we've held on to, we're now living in the midst of it. And I don't think it's just this silly grin that they get, although an experience like that, I'm sure, causes some grin. But there's this deep rest that goes, yeah, this is it. Hey, this is it. And you know, I wonder, as we come into this season, what joy looks like for you. Is it something that is fleeting, and it may be there with gifts, it may be there with family, with friends, but it's pretty quickly stripped away from us? Is it circumstantially based? Is it experientially based for you? Is it something that you think if there's not delight and happiness, joy can't exist? Because the reality is that this message of joy that was for all the world came into a really dark season. It was a season of the rule of Rome, and there was all sorts of brutality and hardness, and within 2 years many, many children would be put to death in the hunt for Jesus. It was trying, and yet this joy is proclaimed. You know, it's so relevant to the world that we live in today, where there's all this saber rattling and war and threats of war, and of course this pandemic that we don't seem to see the end of, and everyone seems to have an answer, and until we get that answer or the vaccines or whatever else it is, then we're not going to have joy. I disagree. I think joy is found in the midst of. Why? Because the message was this: God had come to dwell in our midst. Emmanuel, God with us. That is the source of joy. And so all of these things that are happening and were happening and now are happening in our day, it is still Emmanuel, God with us, in the midst of it, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of loneliness, in the midst of separation. And I want to encourage you really that this is the joy that we're encouraged to take a hold of in Christmas. It's coming to that manger, to that gift of this child to all of humanity, that as we look at him, we see, man, God cared enough that we would know his heart for us, that we would experience salvation in Jesus, that we would understand hope, that we would understand peace, that would give birth to this contented joy because he'd come. You know, those shepherds, when they hear the news, they say, let's go. I love this. You know why? Because they don't say, hey, who lives closest? Let's whip around there and tidy ourselves up a bit. Like, this is the King of Kings. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord. Like, we should prepare ourselves and then go. Or you don't see them say, whoa, that's incredible. Angels, but geez, it's late. Maybe we should go in the morning. Or maybe they just rub their bleary eyes and they're like, did that really happen? I don't know. You see, any of those things stop us engaging, right? Sometimes our lethargy, our weariness, our tiredness, our disbelief, they actually distance us from that joy we're invited into in the manger. But you know, so does this idea of I got to prepare myself. You know, I wonder how it was for Joseph and Mary. I wonder how it was to be sitting there in their own wonder of this that just happened, in their own quiet delight, in their own joy, and suddenly you hear these thundering feet and in come rushing these sweaty, dirty shepherds out of the fields, and they're like, where is he? I don't know, but I love this passionate exuberance that says we've got to engage. I wonder if for some of us, if we haven't fully engaged the joy of Jesus because somehow we maybe don't think we're prepared enough, we're not cleaned up enough, that somehow for me to be with God, I have to be rightly prepared. You see, that's the beauty of the joy, is it was God with us, not us just searching him out. That was our response to the invitation. And so first and foremost, I would say this Christmas, don't let anything distance you from that opportunity of joy. Don't let anything distance you from that opportunity to hope again, to engage peace again. Don't let anything stop you, not lethargy, weariness, not unbelief even, and certainly not thinking that you have to somehow prepare yourself to be in his presence. See, that's God's invitation and offer of engagement for you. You know, also in this season, I was looking at this word for joy. And it's the same word often used in the New Testament for rejoice. And it's this idea to find joy again. You know, our English word has this French root to it. Rejoice means to go back to that place of joy, to go back and re-engage joy, to find joy again. It's the word that's used in Philippians and in Thessalonians that says, rejoice always. Find joy always. Let your joy be renewed always. Go back to that source of joy again and again and again. That's what it is to rejoice. It's to revisit. And so the simplicity of that night that was a profound gift was this invitation over and over and over again. It's not a once a year thing. I'm glad that we mark this date and we celebrate Jesus, and it is a once a year beautiful celebration, but it is a daily rejoicing, revisiting, re-engaging in the Lord. Always, daily, all the time. Although we celebrate on December 25th, I pray that we celebrate on the 26th and the 27th and the 1st and then February and March, and that it just is this continual roll over for you. I hope that this invitation of joy encourages you to seek it out afresh. Is there anything that has robbed you of joy? That has punched holes in your little joy reservoir, that somehow it's maybe been this limited supply and you're afraid that somehow it's going to run out? Is there something that's cast its long shadow over you this year? You're not feeling very joyful. Then I invite you to revisit, to look in that manger again, to see the grace of God that he so loved this world that he gave his only son. Why? That whoever would believe in him doesn't have to despair, doesn't have to be cast off, doesn't have to perish, but can enter into that abundance and fullness of life. The follow-on from this, the shepherds, when they see this and marvel at this, then it says they run out of there and they tell anyone who will listen, and even those that couldn't care less to listen. It says they go out into the town and they begin to proclaim this good news of Jesus. Why? Because it is a message that brings hope regardless of circumstances. It's a message that even though there's trials and war and difficulty and hunger and loneliness and despair and all of these things, there's an answer for it. There's an answer for you. I know that you are given this gift not just for your own salvation, not just so that you can find rest in it, but so that you can take it and then as a gift, give it to someone else. See their joy restored. See their hope restored. See their peace restored. That's what I love about the Advent. Joy doesn't stand alone. Hope doesn't stand alone. Peace doesn't stand alone. Love doesn't stand alone. They all come together in this beautiful harmony in the person of Jesus. We're not invited to be little performing monkeys that somehow receive these things. We're given them in Jesus. And my hope is that you, in the rediscovery of it this year, will be re-impassioned, re-encouraged that it is a gift for anyone who will receive it. That you could almost be that angel, in a sense, that appears to someone and goes, hey, I have got tidings of great joy, for unto you was born a Saviour. He was Christ the Lord. I wonder what it might look like in your circumstances. What does it look like for you to bring that joy to a neighbour, to a family member, to someone in the street, someone in the shop, someone that you come across? Will you be that messenger of joy? Because it's joy for the world. May you have a joy-filled and joyful Christmas this year. God bless.